Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Mashur Sol, the co-founder of FitLens and the head of computer vision at another startup that is operating under stealth mode. And during this recording, we will call that company B. How's that sound, Mashur?
Sounds good.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's late on a Friday for both of us, and we have some nice weather, so I'm looking forward to kind of the weekend. I don't know if there's any weekends anymore.
Yes. I think these days have been a nice weather. And I'm looking forward to do some running this week. So let's see.
Yes. And I'll actually be walking down by the bay probably in a little while, probably about an hour from now.
Yes. Yeah.
So can you give me a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah. So I'm currently doing two things. I'm a CTO of FitLens, which is a startup that's building a fitness app that uses computer vision and artificial intelligence to track workout in real time for a person. Basically, you have a camera, your phone with a camera, and you put it and you'll be in the field of view and we'll be tracking you real time, telling you whether you're doing things correctly or not, and help you with the rep counting and giving you like encouragement feedback, all this kind of fitness, personal fitness trainer experience, but in an app and using AI. And actually, in parallel, I've been working on another startup that actually building more like I think I can talk more about that device. We're building with some device and that another technology in AI that's basically more high tech. My background, prior to that, I came from Amazon, where I was a tech lead in computer vision and AI for 6 years. And prior to that, I worked briefly in Texas Instruments for 3 years. And then before that, I graduated with a PhD from Georgia Tech.
Oh, very nice. You're a yellow jacket, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Very nice. So what has been your experience with remote employment, both as an employee and an employer?
Yeah, as an employer, first, I mean, let me start with that. FitLens was an example of a company that we have experienced that very early on. From the beginning, our team was mostly remote because we have team across the globe. Small team, I think 5 to 6 people between Europe and the Middle East. And combining different specialization, machine learning, iOS of development and web cloud development. And the thing is, we have, at the beginning, it was a little bit tough to accommodate, but once you learn how to handle it, basically, and eventually like how to really make sure you do keep communications going, have redundancy in communications with the team, have a vision clear and breaking down into actually very defined steps. So like from 1 week to another, but don't lose track of the whole thing. The team can start to follow, and also having a feedback loop between actually communicating like milestones and from the milestones to execution to testing and giving the feedback back to the milestones of user and testing. We have used tools like Slack and Google Hangouts and Zoom. And this has been as simple as that. Just requires a bit more from a leadership perspective to keep an eye on that. Make sure always double check what you hear. For example, there was situations where I got messages from one of the developers saying, oh, I was working on this problem and we're all waiting for that. And yeah, I found a solution. So we went, okay, I didn't double check that. I just said, okay, let's start planning for next week to put in the product. And then right before you put in the product, you say, oh, what do you mean you found a solution? Show me. So, in an office environment, when they say, I found a solution, here it is. But in remote, sometimes you have to still remember like, oh no, show me the data, double check the data. So this is a different thing. It's really still work for software development. It's doable and we have all the tools, but it requires like a way of communication and redundancy in that.
Very interesting. So what has been your takeaway from these experiences in general? Positive, negative, neutral?
My thing is positive. I think there's a lot of advantages for working remotely. I mean, there's still some disadvantages. One thing, like for example, my take is here, like if you work, if you're really gonna spend going to office multiple times a week, and just wasting 2-3 hours a day just commuting, you really can use that time effectively to do something productive. And the gap between working remotely and working from an office is not that huge. But that gap can be bridged, actually, can be bridged by just extra communications. I mean, learning the flow better. There are examples where it would not be that efficient, like, for example, in Company B, like where we have like hardware to deal with, you have to still have somebody go to the office and test the equipment and run experiments. And you still have, a lot of the times you have to go and check this cable, check that, but you still, you can actually manage that as well if you really figure out a flow. Like you can say, like, I would like, for things that does not require hardware or testing on the hardware, I can just send a few people to do that. Where else the software stuff, for example, the flow, I can develop it remotely, as long as I keep in mind that communication channels are maintained and held. And somebody should be an owner for that. If somebody does not own the communication channels, keep like pinging this person and that person, it will fall apart.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, your hardware device, is it an IoT device or is it more of a more sturdy piece of, I shouldn't say sturdy, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a sturdy piece of device. I can't just say too much details about that, but I think it is a mix of components. I think it's in dealing with perception in general.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. So what do you think is the future of remote employment, and what do you think can be done differently to make it more effective?
I think having more tools like to enforce, I mean, these things like regular checks that we can do on, like, let's say when we really report results or report progress. Right now, I have to wait for my developer, for example, to publish a code for me to see the code and run the code. Maybe having more tools to really quickly shorten that for remotely. Like, okay, when he told me, for example, this has been solved, I should be able to quickly just go and just see what he's talking about. I mean, there's going to be a smaller gap, actually, to really realize that eventually. So like more collaborative development. I mean, there's tools already there, but I don't think they're really advanced to really imitate the fact that I can walk behind your head and your screen and just see it.
Yeah.
I think if we can speak to that. But there's a lot of tools for that. I mean,
yes. Yeah. And I think there are companies building them as we speak.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So, but as you know, being in this industry, it takes longer than 6 to 7 weeks to come out with a viable product that's ready for GA.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Zoom was fortunate; they really had a product that was ready. They had a few security breaches there that they had to take.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
So what is the story behind FitLens? What's, you know, you've gone over the basics of the product. So who's your target audience? And how did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, this all started with a friend, and we started brainstorming about an idea. Basically, an idea was basically how it didn't start from fitness, started from actually correcting form for physical therapy. And as we started talking more about it, and I'm actually a regular person who goes to the gym a lot and I like to really work out. I started getting inspiration from that. It's like, what if like we actually take the personal fitness trainer, a personal trainer, and just put it in your hand, in a sense, like where you can actually, I mean, in a form like that really give you the same experience, but on a phone or a device. And as we really started that and actually seeing like, how can we also make that realistic in a sense, like, so imitate the person at the same time, keep you engaged, because like, if I give you like feedback, and this feedback is always fix this and do that and don't step here, more likely you stop using the app. But you want to make it also like, also have the encouragement piece in it, basically, because a personal fitness trainer will have both this. He will tell you what you're doing wrong, but he tells you what you're doing right. So you have to figure those both aspects. So we started simply by building a demo, putting a team together. I wanted to build that out. We worked with the first personal trainer was actually one of my actually trainers in Orange Theory. She helped us actually define a few exercises and we recorded some videos and we started from there. And I mean, after like a hard working year, here we are. We have an app in App Store, and still actually it's been. I think so far the feedback has been good. I think the team is still working hard on actually making it better.
Cool. And just so I understand, and the people listening, do you do things like weightlifting? You have proper technique in weightlifting as well as things like cardio kickboxing that you're making the proper moves.
So ideally, yes, I think because the model is the same for both. Right now, what the kind of exercises that it actually does is basically more exercise that actually requires more like a real correct form. Like, for example, doing a squat, for example, you need to have your back straight and your legs are parallel to the floor and stuff. So these are the sensitive exercises you have to do that requires a form to be correct. For fast-paced stuff, actually, it does actually do that eventually because it actually helps you when you're doing that. It can correct the form. It also helps you count how many, for example, let's say punches you're doing. So these are things that it eventually can evolve to. And I think as simple as it is, like it is, the company is a small team that actually working 24 hours across the world to get it happen. But I mean, one thing that we had problem was working remotely is just being able to get to work with content from fitness trainers because we can't easily communicate and go to a studio or you can actually get the feedback from them or get the content from them. So it's been more longer cycle, which is another really slow down process. But in terms of development, there's no slowdown, but this is the part where actually you might see like MES get impacted. We're trying to work harder how to do that. And also collecting feedback from them, like if this is what you expected or not, are you trying the app or not? So.
Very cool. And it sounds like you started out remote. You didn't incorporate remote as you went along. So how did you do that from the beginning?
I mean, the reason because we really first, we have a very low budget when we started. So we tried actually to interview folks, not remote, but we're really blowing up our budget for our rate. Actually, I think we started with somebody part-time here, but it was still not enough. So we had to hire full-time people. So we started actually remotely interviewing. And interviewing remotely has been a bit not an easy thing, especially like for folks not in the same place. It wasn't an easy just doing Q&A sessions. We had to do some really more advanced, like task-based interviews. Like, you know, just we do less, okay, you pass the Q&A interview and then next, let's do the next stage. Try this one for first and see how it works. Show me your work. And also then building, and I was paying too much attention to the personality of the person. Is he communicative enough? Mm. Is he the person that actually, this is because we had few candidates who were really good, but they're really hard to communicate. Yeah. So it's hard to work with somebody remotely like that. So you had to really, I think it took us some time, but we figured it out. So figure out first how to work remotely, how to select candidates to work remotely. And it wasn't easy, but we got there.
And did you actually have them write code for you? That's part of the process?
Part of the testing, yeah, we had to. We had to actually them write. We gave them a coding assignment, and we have to really actually review the code after it happened. Yeah. And ask them a question. Well, one of the things also, not only like, even if you write the code, it's not correct. But if I want to ask you why you wrote this, I want to make sure you communicate it correctly to me. Mm. So communication is the key. Like, I could have somebody like do everything perfectly, but can't tell me what's wrong or right. For remote work, it's impossible. Maybe if you're not remote, it's running.
And as you know, someone could write something remotely, and they could do a lot of copy and paste from Google to write a piece.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
You're right. They do have to be able to articulate what.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they should at least know the difference between JSON and XML, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So the current pandemic has caused a lot of companies to go remote. You already are remote and you were, but did the pandemic cause any roadblocks or challenges that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has. And one other thing is like maybe on the development cycle, not much, but on the other things, let's say on testing, on acquiring content or data for your algorithms. I mean, that applies for both, like for whether we're talking about Fitlens or Company B. I mean, there's like, I cannot just go to the site and get data anymore. I have to figure out a way around it. Also, like, I cannot easily go and grab a device and just put it. So this has been the slowdown. This has been actually what we have to really think outside the box how to do that. And actually, that probably brings another opportunity, like, how can I do it some other way without me depending on having the data or having the device? But it definitely slowed us down. It actually made it a bit harder on that side, and also for especially testing, more testing with users and stuff. It's been also been not an easy thing. It even though like it was made it was a roadblock for a couple of things, but it also made us brainstorm and open an eyes to an opportunities where we can streamline this process. So we don't have to face such problems in the future.
So in a way, it kind of helped you for the in the long term.
Yes, exactly. So we actually things that we always plan to do, like, right? We always plan to let's do this so we don't have to do every time go to the site and capture data, right? And we said, like, okay, as long as you can do it, you just keep like, delaying it. But once you are in this situation, say, okay, now I'm going to put my focus on this. So ideally, like, if this, when we finish developing these kind of tools and we're coming after this COVID-19 situation, we should help us increase our productivity on that side. Yeah, that's going to be an opportunity. But I mean, in a while, we'll actually take the hit.
I know. So it did cause discomfort at first. But all in all, I think the whole, the whole world's going to eventually realize that this like 2020 is going to be kind of a write-off year, but it's going to change the way we do business in the future.
Yes, exactly.
So, there's companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products for startups, especially like yourself. How important do you think this is going to be going forward for companies that need to hire the right talent? I think the key is the right talent and be able to trust in them.
Yeah, I think that's, hiring, as I told you, especially for working remotely, even for working in office is really important. And I can tell you for at least on Company B, we've been like, prior to this whole situation, we spent significant amount of time in recruiting and interviewing and just selecting candidates, and the candidates were coming. Unfortunately, some of them are not coming anymore. The thing is, like, it took like almost, if you're talking about, let's say, for example, your company is a startup, you're talking about 12 people in a startup, and you have half the company interviewing, this half the productivity is actually going somewhere, and half the company then schedule interviews. So having such kind of tools and having such kind of process in place to help reduce the time and increase productivity, not only for recruiting and training, but also from other stuff, like you need to put your people on instead of just focusing on that thing.
Great.
So definitely useful.
Well, Mashur, I want to thank you for your time today. This has been very enlightening. I wish good luck to both of your companies.
Thank you.
Hopefully we get to find out what Company B is all about sometime soon.
Thank you.
And I'll be honest with you, I might be using FitLens because I also like to exercise, and you never know. It could end up being a great product. And it's GA right now?
Yeah.
So I can pull it down after this call?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I'll send you the link afterwards.
All right, sounds good. Well, it's happy hour right now in Silicon Valley, so I'll let you go and enjoy your weekend and have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
Take care. Good night.
Good evening. Bye. Good night.